flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Okay, business leaders, are you playing defense or are you on the offense? Are you just, excuse me, hey, I'm trying to talk business here. As I was saying, are you here just to play or are you playing to win? If you're in it to win, meet your next MVP, NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is your full business management system in one suite. With NetSuite, you're running your accounting, your financials, HR, e-commerce, and more, all from your online dashboard. One source of truth means every department's working from the same numbers with no data delays. And with AI embedded throughout, you're automating manual tasks, plus getting fast insights for your next move. Whether you're competing on your home turf or looking to conquer international markets, NetSuite helps you get the W. Over 40,000 businesses have already made the move to NetSuite, the number one cloud ERP.
Right now, get the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/special. Get this free guide at netsuite.com/special.
Okay, guys.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast with you. All right, we did the four best offensive plays for the Texans. I put it up on a poll. We played the play-by-play from Mark Vandermeer. The poll is up on my Twitter timeline, at Sean T. Pendergast. I'm not going to say who's winning because I don't want to poison the results. There's four plays up there. Nico Collins, 3rd and 11, catch to help close out the Colts, which is an amazing throw and catch in week one. The Dari Ogunbowale touchdown to win the game against the Jags in week four. Damian Pierce shot out of a cannon, which led to Seth and I visualizing him getting actually shot out of a real cannon on the show earlier for 92 yards.
Or if not a real cannon, one of those circus cannons.
A real circus cannon. Yeah. That's in week 18. That's number three. And then the Xavier Hutchinson catch off of the C.J. Stroud fumble scramble in the playoff game is number four. You can go vote on on my Twitter timeline, at Sean C. Pendergast. You can follow the station at Sports Radio 610 and follow Seth at Seth C. Payne. So top four defensive plays now. All right, let's get to these. There's a lot to choose from. That's why I said it was really difficult earlier, because there's a lot to choose from. I'm going to go with, these are the four I picked, and there's so many. There's so many from Danielle Hunter that you can pick. But I thought this one was very important in the game that was in, even though it was against an opponent that was not very good. This is Danielle Hunter strip sack fumble early in the second half against the New England Patriots.
May gets the snap. He's got a little time, and now he's sacked. The ball is out. Hunter got it out, and Edwards recovers at the 10-yard line. Strip sack.
Drake May is still down.
All right, so that, yeah, there's a lot going on that play.
Sorry about it, Drake May.
Drake May still down. That was a big play because if you remember that game, I know the game wound up lopsided 41-21. It was 14-7 at the half, and the Patriots had just scored on a deep shot to Kayshon Boutte right before the half. He beat Derek Stingley. And they had the ball to come out in the second half. And if you're trying, you're just coming off that Buffalo win the week before, you're on the road against a much lesser opponent, and it looked like there was some letdown there with the Texans potentially. That play right there recalibrated the game, because just a couple plays later, the Texans scored to make it 21-7, and then the game was never really close. Danielle Hunter needed to be represented somewhere in this piece here, Seth, I felt like.
Yeah, that play, by the way, also, if that were versus the Chiefs, 100% Pat Mahomes would have drawn a flag on it. There was almost incidental contact, almost, with Danielle Hunter to Drake May. So, yeah.
Oh, that's a helmet.
Yeah, helmet to helmet. Yeah. I can't stop getting triggered about some of these calls. The thing that bothers me about the quarterback hit rules is that if you hit the quarterback in the midsection, anatomically, yeah, the midsection starts to go, the quarterback head kind of snaps, and it looks like it could have gotten hit by a helmet.
Yeah.
That's where it's like you can't have your helmet anywhere near his helmet.
Yeah.
Like not even on the same horizontal plane. So thank God. I was just glad that for Danielle Hunter's sack total sake, that was against Drake
against
May.
Against Drake and, May in his first start.
Yeah. May.
Hey, by the way, I don't know if you saw this yesterday. I mentioned we'll get to the other three plays, I promise. The CJ Stroud turned down the Pro Bowl. You know how deep they got into alternates for quarterback for the Pro Bowl for the AFC? Drake May is going to the Pro Bowl.
Wow.
Drake May, nobody wants
any of that.
And Russell Wilson are going to the Pro Bowl for the AFC. Drake May and Russell Wilson.
For Russell Wilson.
Jeez. But both those guys are in competitions coming into the year for their positions.
I know.
Russell
Wilson fell apart down the stretch.
Yeah, he did. J.J. Watt tweeted yesterday. He said, you get five alternates deep, you may as well just call it the Participation Bowl.
Hey, whatever, J.J., I'm sitting here waiting for my invitation to show up. I'm somewhere on that list.
Easy to say when you make it every year, J.J.
You know, like you can do. There's people out there that know that they're like, you know, 100,000th in line for the royal, for the English crown.
You need to get on
if you go through it. I feel like there's a Pro Bowl call-up for me somewhere out there.
I feel like you need to take this up with J.J. at some point, for sure.
J.J. would be, at some point, they might have to go to JJ and like recently retired Pro Bowl.
Yeah,
like, all right, listen, nobody wants to do it. Can you at least show up? We'll get
fun.
Some clicks.
It's flag football. That'd be fun to have him out there running around. They should put a few legends out there in the flag football game. All right, that's number one. Number two, week eight against Indianapolis. For some reason, Shane Steichen thought that Anthony Richardson could engineer a touchdown towards the end of the half or at least get some points on the board with like a minute to go, less than a minute to go in the half, deep in his own territory. Anthony Richardson, he of the well-documented on this show, sub 50% completion percentage.
It's a hell of a completion percentage.
Yes. This is what happened when they thought this would be a good idea, the Colts.
Richardson, empty backfield. He's in the gun. Here's the snap. Richardson looking, firing right side. It's picked off by Petrie. Petrie running across the 10 to his right, and he's stacked up inside the 8-yard line. Richardson coughs it up. Jalen Petrie with the INT. First and goal, Houston.
Yeah, and then the Texans would score. The Texans would tack on a touchdown there in a game that wound up 23-20.
The best part about that was just what a ridiculously stupid decision it was to throw that football. And Anthony Richardson, not to call the, but I believe it. You found out later that they were supposed to run, and Anthony Richardson checked into the.
He
pass.
Checked into that play. Yeah,
yeah. But it's like, you know, I think Anthony Richardson. I think he thought he was going to freeze the safeties with his eyes by briefly staring down the middle of the field. But then he had enough time to where, like, he turned and took two gather steps. It, staring at exactly the coverage as it was and decided to throw that football.
Yeah, that...
Unbelievable.
That is
unbelievable.
That is 100% still on the coach because you can point fingers and say, well, Anthony Richardson checked into that play. It's his fault. No, it's the coach's fault for putting the team in position where Anthony Richardson could check into anything. Like, you're running down the clock at that point. Get out of there. Get into the locker room at halftime. And they handed a touchdown to the Texans right there.
It wasn't anything like Richardson should have been blind to it or anything. It wasn't like Petrie popped up out of nowhere.
Yeah.
The Texans didn't disguise their coverage or anything. He threw it to the ball.
Right
he threw
him.
The ball to the receiver who was supposed to be covered by Jalen Petrie.
Yes.
And who was lurking right there.
Right there. Yeah, yeah. Excited to get Petrie back, man, next year. That's all I could think of when I'm listening to that highlight. Like, man, they could have used him out there in those playoff games. He was getting better and better in that role as the year went on, Jalen Petrie. All right, number three. This is against Dallas. This was a play that also involves Jalen Petrie, actually, because Derek Barnett forces a fumble. It gets scooped up by Tyler Guyton, an offensive lineman for the Cowboys. Well, I'll let Mark Vandermeer do the description here.
Second and six for Dallas from their 40. Cooper Rush with Dowdle to his left. Bunch formation right after motion. Rush in trouble. Strip sack. Who's got it? It's still loose. Texans pick it up. Here's Barnett on the run. 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown! Scoop! Score, Derek Barnett.
Okay, so we've seen it before where guys force a fumble, scoop it up, and take it in for a touchdown. I've never seen a play where a guy forces a fumble, it gets scooped up by the Cowboys, Jalen Petrie comes in and waylays the guy.
Just crushes him.
And then
he crushes him.
And the guy fumbles it, Tyler Guyton, the O-lineman for the Cowboys, and the guy who forced the original fumble scoops it up and takes it in, Derek Barnett.
It's pretty embarrassing when you're an offensive lineman and you get destroyed like that by Jalen Petrie. It just comes up, and a guy that weighs 100 pounds less than you just takes your soul.
Yep.
And then Derek Barnett, it was impressive athleticism by Derek Barnett twice on that play. The first, the strip sack, he had to reach in as he was running past. Just really beautiful hand-eye coordination, taps the ball out of the QB's hand. And then, yeah, Jalen Petrie just came in. I remember watching on the TV. It seemed like on the TV copy, like he appeared out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Like it was almost like he wasn't even in your peripheral.
Yep.
Like I would have excused Anthony Richardson for not seeing him.
Mm-hmm.
But he just rocketed in and just destroyed the dude.
It was a great play. And Barnett had another touchdown later in the season against the Titans, too. Very similar situations. Texans up by 10. The game's still a game at that point. And he takes it in and puts him up by 17. That happened in both games at about the same juncture in the game, too. It's really eerie that Derek Barnett scored those touchdowns under very similar circumstances. And also both against hated rivals of us here in Houston, the Cowboys and the Titans. Good job, Derek Barnett. Bring him back, Nick. He's a free agent. I want Derek Barnett on this team again next year. All right, last one. Derek Stingley Jr. has to be in this conversation somewhere. And there is a lot to choose from, especially from the halfway point of the season on. Derek Stingley Jr. was the best cornerback on the planet. You could take a couple of interceptions he had in the playoff game against the Chargers. There were other plays that he made throughout the season. This, to me, was in terms of importance at the time in the game, the importance of the game itself, because that was the Texans game coming out of the bye week and heading into a stretch where they were playing the Chiefs and the Ravens. They really needed to win this game considering what they had on the schedule. And it was a close game at the time, too. Here was Derek Stingley Jr., who had already intercepted one Tua Tagovailoa pass, sealing the deal.
Tua takes the snap. Tua with pressure, throwing downfield to his right, and intercepted! Stingley again! That's going to do it! The Texans are going to beat Miami! Stingley's second pick seals the deal!
Seals the deal. Great call.
And Houston will get its ninth win.
Great call. That's a chill-inducing call by Vandy right there. The other thing that made that great, Seth, two things. One, just the caliber of the catch, like the ball skills. Number two is against Tyreek Hill, who's one of the best receivers in football.
It was against Tyreek Hill, and it was great because you knew at that moment that Tyreek Hill was going to say something publicly or want to agitate his way out of Miami after that, because it was he had a half step on Stingley with a perfectly thrown ball. Tyreek Hill probably would have made the reception, but it wasn't supposed to be a back shoulder.
Mm-mm.
And yet it was.
Yeah.
And Derek Stingley came up and got it. At that moment, Tyreek Hill was thinking about, like, I got to get back to a different quarterback than this. This isn't that. So, and it wasn't, how long after the game was it where Tyreek Hill said he was probably gone?
That was after the season finale.
Oh, is that the end of the season?
Yeah,
right,
that was the end of the season. Right. Yeah, but
that was the moment where he knew, though.
He started thinking it.
To Tyreek Hill's credit, he didn't start trying to agitate out of the contract that he signed in September until after the
because
season.
He went 8-9.
Yes.
I missed the playoffs for the first time in my career. I'm out. And yeah, like, dude, you don't know how the salary cap works. There's no way you're out. Like, you just signed a new deal, man.
Mike McDaniel looked especially miserable after that play.
Yeah.
He's down, hands on his knees.
Yeah, man.
Disgusted, like he was puking at a frat party.
Well, he was probably, and that may have happened at some point. But yeah, he's probably starting to feel really good about Tua going into that game. Like, Tua had as good a stretch of football that he had played in his career coming into that game. The Dolphins, I think in the previous four games before that, they put up over 31 points in three of them. And the only one they didn't was when they had to go up to Green Bay and play in frigid temperatures, which the Dolphins seem to get a pass for every time they go up there and suck in sub-zero weather.
People were getting ready to maybe talk about the Dolphins as an incredible comeback, escaping the cold claws of death to actually be a playoff contender. That one just pretty much did it in for them.
Yep.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, so the four plays, I'll put this up on a poll during the break, and you can go vote on my Twitter timeline, at Sean T. Pendergast. The Danielle Hunter strip sack fumble against the New England Patriots, which is sort of repping everything Danielle did all season long. The Jalen Petrie interception right before the half against Anthony Richardson and the Colts in week 8. Derek Barnett touchdown, the first one, the scoop and score against the Cowboys, and then the Derek Stingley Jr. interception to close out the Miami game.
You know, the other nice thing about that Dolphins game was that the Texans picked off Tua Tagovailoa 3 times in that game. He had thrown one interception in his previous 7 games.
Yeah.
Like, they were playing very careful. And even in that game, it was a ridiculous percentage of the throws were for 5 yards or less.
Yes.
It was just extreme dinking and dunking. And yet, whenever he tries to go deep and then you realize why he's only throwing 5 yards downfield for most of the game.
It's a great point.
Yeah, the Texans against quarterbacks who don't throw a lot of interceptions at NRG Stadium this year was something else. It wasn't just the number of picks. It was picks against quarterbacks who don't turn the ball over.
It was, go through it. Tua, you just hit Tua. Jared Goff, I don't know how many interceptions he had coming into the Week 10 game against the Lions. I guarantee it was less than 5. He threw 5 in that game. Herbert in the playoffs had thrown 3 all regular season long, throws 4 in the playoffs. I would even throw Josh Allen in there, because Josh Allen in 2023, that was one of the things that kept him from being MVP level, was he was kind of careless with the football. And early on this season, through the first 4 games, he hadn't thrown any interceptions. He didn't throw any in that Texans game, but he should have thrown 2. Like, Azeez Al-Shaair had his hands on 2 balls in that game that should have been interceptions. So, you're exactly right, man. That home field advantage that the defense has at NRG Stadium reestablished is really, really nice.
It was Goff had thrown 4 interceptions in 8 games heading into that Texans game. Remember, Goff was coming out of that stretch. It was a 5-game stretch, I think, of that no other quarterback had ever been as efficient and as good. Hadn't thrown a single interception in that 5 games. It was a ridiculous stretch of efficient play.
It was a stretch. It was a stretch where a lot of the stats you saw, Seth, were he's thrown more touchdowns than incompletions, like stuff like that.
Yeah,
you know, like crazy stuff, like crazy, crazy. People weighing in on our CJ Stroud contract talk discussion from the previous segment. CJ was hanging out too much with Micah Parsons last year. Too much talking. I hope he doesn't do that anymore. That'll be interesting. I think that'll be one of the more interesting wrinkles this offseason, is just how visible is CJ Stroud? You know, is he doing a lot of stuff like that?
Of all the people I want my child to hang out with, I don't know if Micah Parsons is one of them. Not because he's
not a bad person,
but he's a distraction.
Yes.
I feel like Micah's the classic, like, okay, he's not a bad kid, but he's also not the kid that you feel is the best influence on your son.
Did you have a friend that wasn't a bad kid, but he was always the friend that you got into trouble with when you went
Sean
out?
Sanderson.
Yeah, mine's Jay Forcellina. You met Jay, actually. He was my friend who was... came in town, and he came up here on a Monday when we were doing the show.
Yeah, he tried to get me to go do blow with him in the bathroom.
I told you, I warned you. I said, don't go, and you went, and it was the dumbest thing I think you've ever done.
No, he didn't at all. No. He was here with his son, a teenage son. So if he's listening right now, Jay, I'll let your son know that, that was a complete fabrication by me.
That's right. So Micah Parsons is Jay Forcellina, and who? Scott Sanderson?
Steve Sean Sanderson.
Sean Sanderson. Okay. How did he spell it? Sean.
Oh, S-E-A-N.
Good. Okay. I like him. I like him. Not as much as Farragher, but I like him. Let's see. Glad CJ is more locked in, but I hope CJ still finds time to have fun and relax this offseason. He played a tough season where his OC and O-line didn't do him a lot of favors.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, the new offensive coordinator, man, let's see. What's your over-under on when they actually make a hire?
That's a great question. I think
Wednesday of next week?
Yeah, I'll go under. Okay. Wednesday of next week. That's a good number, though.
I think they're having conversations at the Senior Bowl.
Yep.
And they probably got – there's – I would guess there's – like informal interviews going on with hypothetically Chip Kelly. There's nothing of substance that is linked
we
the
know.
Texans to Chip Kelly right now. That you're right. I just feel guilty even talking about it as much. But Chip Kelly, they could just have conversations. You know, D'Amico knows him. They can. It doesn't have to be a formal interview. So I think there's a lot of that going on. A lot of casual/formal conversations, but aren't. Interviews per se.
Wednesday, that's a good target. Wednesday of next week.
They might already have the guy, like hypothetically, let's say it was Chip Kelly or Mike McCarthy. Hypothetically, there could already be an offer on the table, and those guys are just waiting to see if they get a head coaching opportunity or something different.
Yep.
And so the Texans might be getting their ducks in a row for if it's not one of their top three chosen candidates.
Yeah, these could all be Plan B guys that they're talking to right now. It's a great point. All right, speaking of Nick and D'Amico, they're at the Senior Bowl. What's going on down there? What do we want them to be shopping for at the Senior Bowl? Where do you go shopping in Mobile, Alabama? You go shopping at the Senior Bowl. We'll talk about that coming up next.